getting ready the world famous Phil Hendry show. It's Monday. Phil Hendry here with Margaret Gray. Margaret.
And good morning or good day, everyone.
General Galen Shaw.
Yes, how what the hell is that? It sounds like there's someone at the window or something.
No, that is Attila and a song called Proving Ground.
What the fuck? This sounds to me like one of those zombie. Did you see the zombie? You saw that, right?
Here you
see a zombie? Oh, the zombie. What do they call that? The dead?
Oh, the walking dead. No, that's. That is Attila. And Robert, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
And Bud Dickman, of course.
Yes, sir.
And welcome here to our program.
What is this the new? I know the zombie is very much a part of the culture.
Well, I think a lot of these groups, they call themselves death metal, new metal, etc.
Death metal, it's not good enough just to be metal.
No, this is a genre.
Yeah, well, a lot of the bands use the death growl thing, you know, the devil growl thing, and the
what's the devil growl? What is everything with the devil, for God's sake? Why don't they, you know, they ought to do some angel, you know, angel rock.
You can't do angel rock. Well, I've got to work out.
Well, I don't care if it works out or not. I'd rather hear that than this guy sounds like he's throwing up into my ear. Do you hear that? He goes.
Right. Well, that's the.
Yeah. I know. It's all about. That's what's happening these days.
Anyway, welcome to the show, folks. And it's as I said, it's a Monday. It's nice to be with you guys. We will have Bob Bacon along with some traffic here forthwith. Had a nice weekend and went over to. I took your recommendation, Margaret, and went to the Cafe Fiore.
Oh my! The Cafe Fiore in Ventura is absolutely wonderful. I hope you had the pesto. Did you have the pesto or did you not?
I did not, but my dinner guest did.
All right, very good. And what did you... Well, you didn't have it, so...
Well, what did the young lady think?
I took a bite of it.
You sheared off the plate and everything?
Bud, do you mind with the whole...
But yes, we did. We shared off the plate.
No, how was it, Missouri?
It was very good. I liked it.
Now, what is this dish?
Am I doing this questioning or am I not?
Sorry.
How, so you had the pesto?
Yes.
And how was it?
It was very good.
Yeah, but he didn't order it.
Oh, you did not order it?
No, he said that his dinner guest, the young lady he was with, she ordered it.
Now, what'd she think about it, Miss Emmy?
She liked it.
What are you yelling for?
You guys have asked me now 16 times. I liked it.
So you did have it?
Yes, I had it, and I liked it.
Good God, Phil.
What, you know, Phil, a little early in the week, but what bug crawled up your asshole?
God damn.
I told you guys 58 times that I had the pesto and I liked it.
All right, but Phil, the way you're saying that, you'd think that's the only thing that they serve there that's any good.
Yeah, but then what else do they have?
You guys are asking me about the pesto, so I told you.
Well, what else did you have?
I had the ribeye.
You had the ribeye, she had the pesto.
Yes.
How does she like the pesto?
I'm going to belt somebody.
We're just fucking around. Excuse me.
We're fucking around. Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, you're effing around.
Yes, I'm sorry, Phil. But no, Cafe Fiore, in all seriousness, is a wonderful restaurant. And
Hold on for a minute, bud. That Aston Villa TV. What is that?
I don't know.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
Go ahead.
When in Ventura, I highly recommend that you woo... Go to the Cafe Fiore.
Yeah, it's outstanding. We loved it. Very comfortable, and, you know, we dug on it. All right, today our show is partly sponsored, brought to you in part by our friends at Sherry's Berries. Very, very happy to have those guys on board. We're going to go over and visit our new partners at Podcast One today in the beautiful city of Beverly Hills, California.
Hey.
We'll probably get Ted Bella. All right, thanks, bud.
Hey.
Great. We'll probably...
Now, where is this?
Beverly Hills.
Hey.
Will you knock it off? Anyway, we'll get Ted Bell on later to talk about that with us to maybe clue it. Not that I'm going to be spending all that much time in Beverly Hills, but nonetheless, we're very, very happy to be with the guys at Podcast One. And what else? It's another week. We're getting closer to the summertime. The Kentucky Derby is coming up. And Margaret, I know that that's always a big... sporting event at your house?
Well, Frank and I have been going to the Kentucky Derby off and on for a lot of years. As you know, Phil, I have, at odd times, I've been on your program, and I have sung the very traditional, "Well, the sun did do on my old Kentucky home."
Now, Margaret, don't sing the, you soiled it. You soiled everything, you know.
I soiled what?
You soiled the whole thing when you sang the original lyrics.
Yeah, you sang all about a darky.
All right, let's just be very, very careful how we handle that, all right?
I'm very much sorry for that, but those were the original lyrics.
Right.
We know that, and there's no question that, you know, they've changed the lyrics. Nonetheless, that is going to be on March the 5th. We're going to have a poker game, myself and my pals, my chums, my close personal buddies, my very good friends, who will probably wind up raping me and taking me for every nickel I have, a poker game on the following weekend.
Yay.
Thank you.
And a great poker's a wonderful game, isn't it? Especially when your friends take your pants off and have at it, each guy taking his turn with you as you're tied to...
Can we please not talk that way?
Thank you very much, General. You pretty much, though, have that whole thing figured out. Bob Bacon with the traffic right now as we swing into this new week. Bob, what's it looking like?
Hey, cool right now. Let's hit the southbound. We got the southbound Toronto, southbound Trout Highway with a guy with the trouser trout. And if you're going up the north, and I'm telling you, up the right side, there's a guy up there. I'll tell you, he's going to say something to you, and you're not going to like that very much. Slap him right across his face and kick him in the balls. Bob Bacon, traffic.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California.
Hey, listen, now is the great time, man. Now is the good time. Now is the groovy time to get a backstage pass to our website, philhenryshow.com. We had the chat on Friday night.
And how was that?
That was a lot of fun. Talk to our BSPs on Friday night. Every Friday night, we do a 9 o'clock chat with me and the rest of the BSPs. And all kinds of special features for you as a backstage pass member. All Access Pass gives you the video cast of our show, as well as close to 20,000 hours of audio and video archives. You can get the audio only archive if you'd the audio only Access Pass, I should say. But it's all there at philhenryshow.com, along with all kinds of miscellany historical moments in the history of the Phil Henry Show, including character clips, television shows, news conferences, radio interviews, TV interviews. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. Now is the time for all good men and women to get a BSP at philhenryshow.com.
Get the back,
the backstage.
Get the backstage, I'm saying it. The backstage pass at philhenryshow.com.
Thank you, Margaret. All right, this is an interesting story. With us is a guy by the name of Kurt Reutemann. Mr. Reutemann is a mountain climber. He is a man who has ascended some of the more daunting peaks on the face of this earth. You know, mountain climbing, very dangerous, with the recent news being what it is.
Yeah, man, that was pretty bad. Did you see the news?
I saw the news, and I don't want to get into it, but suffice to say that I think everybody knows what we're talking about.
What are you talking about?
There was a bad mountain climbing. I don't want to get into it, okay?
Fine, don't...
It turned out...
General, if you don't mind.
You got to get this guy Reutemann on. I'm sure he'll talk about it.
Well, he has a more interesting story to tell. Mr. Reutemann was climbing in Alaska, attempting to ascend Mount McKinley, which, I don't know whether you know this or not, Mount McKinley is the highest peak in the United States, the 50 states, not just the contiguous, because that would mean only the, you know...
They're the ones that are connected, and this is a state that ain't connected at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, very good, Dickman. The states that are connected, well, these are the states... So the 50 states are the states, even the unconnected ones.
Yes, well, that would include Alaska and the other one, right?
And what is the other one?
I know what it is.
No. What is the other one?
Don't test me like I'm a school child.
Well, Miss Gray, you know what it is?
You know what? Now I'm not going to... Yes, I do know what it is, but now I won't tell you.
I know. It's Hawaii.
What did you tell her for?
I knew it was... How dare you think that I'm so empty-headed, such a piece of ass with really nothing going on upstairs that you'd think I wouldn't know about Hawaii, even though I've got it going on from the neck down? Is that what you're saying? Oh, my God.
Yes, Margaret. That's exactly...
Oh, sure, Margaret. That's what we're saying.
Thank you.
All right. So having said all of that, We do want to bring on the line here our very, very good friend, Kurt Reitman. Kurt, as I mentioned, so I got to ask you, Kurt, before we get any further into the interview here, ascending Mount McKinley. This was the mountain that you got hurt on. Is that correct? That's where you had your injury?
Yes, that's right. That is exactly right, and that was where the genesis of my book started to take place.
Okay, and when? What year was this?
This was in the early 90s. It was 1991.
When you went up McKinley, which was, as I say, the objective was to climb to the peak of that, you had an accident, correct?
I should say that we did. We went up the south side of McKinley, and it was at that time that I suffered a fall, lost most of the spikes that we'd been using, lost much of my equipment on this very treacherous part of the climb, and I thought for a moment we were going to lose another team member, but that was not the case. And I say fortunately I was the only one who lost my grip and was unable to maintain my position on the cliff face. I'm glad that I was the only one, because there could have been much, much worse.
So what happened to you, Mr. Reitman? You fell how many feet?
I fell approximately 75 feet and went into a culvert of the side of the mountain and slid down until I went up against a collection of granite. There was granite and slate, boulders, and some smaller, sharper rocks, which was what I initially got entangled in. I was there for not more than 2 or 3 minutes, and the rocks then became loose, and I fell another 30 feet, at which time came to rest there against a portion of that north face.
And once you finally came to a standstill, how high up the face of the mountain were you?
They were had ascended about 7,000 feet.
Well, was that a sheer drop?
Yeah, 7,000 feet and you fall down on it?
No, it was not a sheer drop. This particular point of the climb, it fell away at a much more gradual slope. So the remaining 3,000 would have been quite daunting. But we have, at that point, not so much in fear of falling straight down as I was found myself separated from my team, and my arm had gotten wedged between the series of boulders there.
Now, so what happened was to you was the same thing that happened to that gentleman, the subject of that movie, the guy who got his arm wedged.
Oh, that was called the 148 hours, something like that.
Well, I don't, it wasn't 148. You don't know what it was there, Reitman?
I don't remember I know the story very well. I don't know the name of the movie. I think it was not 148 hours. I don't think he was caught that long. I think it was only about 12 or 15 hours.
12 or 15 hours? I mean, that guy had to saw his arm off.
Well, that was the problem. He panicked, you know. It was only 15 hours, and he started to panic and decided he would saw his arm off, and I, for the life of me, I don't know. I've been through that before, and
well, you did go through that. Your arm was wedged. How does that happen? Does it just happen as the result of the fall? Is it the result of you attempting to climb out of that situation, trying to improve your position, or trying to get yourself extricated from trouble that you become further, you know, I guess wedged into the boulders, into the rock face there?
For me, it was simply the luck of the bad luck of the fall. Yes, I went down essentially on my back, head first, and spun around at the last moment. Hit two boulders. I broke my arm. The arm that eventually was wedged in the rock was quite painful I would say, several hours. But it was a break of the wrist. It was not a break of the large bones, so. The pain subsided, and certainly it subsided when I had to begin to extricate myself by chewing through my arm, essentially.
Now, here's the part of the story.
You said you chewed through your arm.
Now, hold on. Here's the part of the... Why did you attempt to gnaw your arm off?
Yeah, see, this is what we were talking beforehand.
Wait. Hold the phone.
Wait a minute, man. You don't know about me?
Hold on for a minute. We're going to let Mr... Why did you want to chew your arm off?
Because that's what an animal would do. And I wanted this climb to be, if nothing else, as close as possible to what a rabbit or a small mammal would do. Not a wolf, not a larger mammal such as a caribou or deer. I wanted this to be the emblematic representative of what a small mammal would do. Because I wanted to see, at least in symbolic terms, whether or not a small mammal could survive an experience like this, of climbing a mountain 7,000 feet high, and at...
Now, why would a small mammal want to climb a 7,000-foot mountain, if you're talking about...
Yeah, that's a very good question.
So you wanted to do it the way a rabbit would do it?
Well, I didn't know how a rabbit would do it. You know, I've spelled it... I wanted to at least try, and...
Why did you want to climb the mountain as a rabbit?
Because I wanted to climb the mountain as a rabbit. That was the only animal other than a mountain goat. And
why not just as a man?
Because we already know how men climb mountains, but we don't know how a small mammal would climb the mountain. We know what a mountain goat might do. Mountain goats can leap and almost frolic their way up the side, but a small... It was a stupid idea, there's no question about it, but I wanted to go through with the entire thing.
Is that why you try to gnaw it off?
Is that why I tried to gnaw what off?
Is that why you tried to gnaw your arm off?
Yes, exactly. Because a rabbit, if it's caught in a trap, will gnaw its paw off. It will gnaw. So I began to try to chew.
Now, this is very difficult to believe. I'm sure you understand.
Oh, no question. That's why I chronicled it with photographs.
All right, so did you chew your whole arm off? Let's get to the point.
No, sir, I did not. I did not, but I attempted to, and...
How far did you go in trying to chew your own arm off?
I didn't get very far because it was quite painful and it was going to be quite messy. I got scared. I didn't have the guts to do it, you know. But let me say this before I go any further. At least I tried it, and the guy they made the movie out of... He got panicky and he got scared because his arm was wedged in a rock for about 12 hours.
No, you're wrong about that, man. It was a lot longer. Yeah, the movie's got 138 hours or something like that.
Well, that's my understanding, too.
Well, no. That's what they might have named the movie.
Do you have information that it was a lot shorter?
The movie?
No. The when this man had his arm wedged...
Oh, no. Yeah, it was not 148 hours. I cannot imagine 148 hours with your arm wedged. You'd wind up with a... I think you'd wind up dead. You'd be dehydrated. I think that the word that I got is this guy, whoever they made the movie out of, and I don't know, and I'm assuming that you gentlemen don't know either, do you?
No, I we don't have the information. We weren't prepared to talk about that. It's just that you're saying that the guy got scared and started to cut his own arm off after 12 hours.
That's what I understand. And
why do you understand? Is it something you heard?
Not only was it something I heard, but it's also something I experienced, because after 12 hours, I wanted to gnaw... That's when I began to want to gnaw my own arm off. And so...
When were you rescued?
I would like to tell you that, Mr. Henry. I'd like to tell you all of it, but can we just first things first, you know?
All right, well, first things first. Look, the story...
Excuse me, who are you?
My name is General Galen Shaw.
All right, I thought I was just talking to Mr. Henry.
No, we've got a panel of people here that want to ask you questions. And the question, and I agree with the general, the question is that's most important here is... did you gnaw off your arm?
No, I did not gnaw off my arm.
All right. You wanted to gnaw your arm off because that's what a rabbit would do.
That's exactly right. And you must understand...
Wait, how do you know a rabbit would do it?
Because that's... What do you mean, how do I know? That's what they do.
Don't you see a rabbit do it?
No, I have not seen a rabbit. Who am I answering questions of?
One at a time. Robert, go ahead.
Yeah, have you seen a rabbit do it?
I have not seen a rabbit do it, but I've seen traps where a rabbit had gnawed off its own leg. There's a leg in the trap, and there's no other... The rabbit's gone. So that's when I had the idea, if I get my arm wedged in this climb, I'll gnaw it off and then continue my ascent,
And they'll say, well, an animal, even a rabbit could do this if they know off their own limb. See, I saw the film Never Cry Wolf, and I was very impressed with how the man proved that wolves could live on rodents. And I, too, wanted to make a zoological statement, anthropological and zoological statement, by ascending this mountain. If I got injured, if I had my arm wedged, I wouldn't try and saw it off after 13 hours like the guy they made a movie out of. I could gnaw this thing off and continue to ascend. And if you want to make a movie, and I personally don't care...
Well, see, that's what we're... Is this all about a movie being made?
Yeah, probably if you want to get... The movie rights and everything.
No, it's not. No.
This had nothing to do with Hollywood.
No, I had nothing. If they wanted to offer me a movie, I'm not going to say no. But this was more importantly about showing what you do when the chips are down and what an animal would do, particularly a small animal, attempting to...
When is the last time that anyone knows of any rabbit or any small animal, any small mammal, climbing a mountain, the height of a Mount McKinley?
I don't know, Ms. Gray. Perhaps never. But if you don't, if someone doesn't do it, then who will? If not me, then who, you know, and...
Well, what do you mean, if not you, who? About being a rabbit?
No, I didn't say about being a rabbit. I said...
Now, gentlemen, there's no need to get angry.
No, I'm not getting angry, but this... This gentleman here is...
Well, look, so you were going to gnaw your arm off as a part of this if it came down to it.
Yes, and it did come down to it.
But unfortunately, you didn't gnaw your arm off.
No, I did not gnaw my arm off.
Did you make it to the top of McKinley?
No, I did not make it to the top of McKinley because my arm was wedged in the rock. My climb team eventually did find me. They were able to extricate me. But I had lost a lot of blood in the process of trying to chew my own arm off, so they decided then...
They would take you down to the bottom of the hill, so you essentially aborted your own climb by trying to gnaw your own arm off.
Yes, that's right. Now, everyone is making these comments, and I haven't been able to get a word in edgewise here.
All right, well, so what do you think is the ultimate here? We're talking here, folks, to Kurt Reitman, who attempted to climb Mount McKinley. Fell, got his arm wedged between two rocks, and he attempted to gnaw his arm off the way a small animal would. Not being successful...
Again, the way you attempted to gnaw his arm off like a small... The sarcasm, Mr. Envy, was not anything that I expected.
If you don't mind, I'd like to continue here.
Go ahead, but...
I'd like to continue. Not being successful, his climb team found him. He had lost blood after trying... You lost blood after trying to chew your own arm off, huh?
Yeah, no, the term is gnaw, so... Right there, you kind of blew it, and...
All right, so you tried to gnaw your arm off, but you did not make it to the top of Mount McKinley.
No, I did not. Now, I don't care if they make a movie out of this. I don't care if they make a TV special. I've already written a book, and I feel that it is a tale that should be told, because everybody was giving love and affection and all kinds of plaudits and this marvelous props to this man who tried to, or did, in fact, saw his own arm off after it was wedged in a rock for about 6-7 hours.
You know, I think you got that wrong. There's no way this guy tried to saw his arm off after it being wedged for only 6 or 7 hours.
And you know that how?
Because the film, I take this man at his word that he was trapped for over 100 hours, right, Harvey? Or not Harvey, General?
Harvey? What the hell?
Your name, he's General Shaw, Phil.
I know that, but I'm just... Isn't that right?
Do I look like Harvey Wyman?
No, you do not.
Jesus.
I apologize. Isn't that right, General?
You know, I don't,
What, you call the guy Harvey? Is his name? What's your name?
Hey, you know what? None of your business. Excuse me.
Hey, General, I'm sorry, okay?
Didn't mean to call you that.
I don't. That's fine. You know, I'm just going to go out here and walk around a little bit and try to just walk it off.
All right, so...
I think it was over 100 hours, yes.
All right, so I take him at his word. And just as I take you at your word that you tried to gnaw your own arm off after how many hours?
Well, I tried to gnaw my own arm off after 12 hours because I don't buy that this guy had his arm wedged for over 100 hours. I think he freaked out. I think he lost his guts. I think he lost his stones after about 6 or 7 hours. And so I lasted 12 hours, and that's when I started to chew through my arm. And I gave up after about 15 minutes. And
how much of your arm had you gnawed off?
I basically just some bite marks.
So you didn't even...
All right, well, look, Kurt, it's great talking to you.
They were bite. If you get the book and you'll see the photographs, I bit into my arm and I gnawed a little bit. And
hold on, I can't take this. Even if you did call me Harvey Weinstein, you had bite marks, is that it?
Yes, that's right, bite marks. And I had lost blood, too, as a result of...
As the result of you gnawing through your arm?
No, as a result of the other arm being broken. So,
This gnawing through the arm never really took place, other than the fact that you attempted to.
Yes. And I will tell you something. Before you start poo-pooing and scoffing and going, poo-poo-poo, you know, like Americans, the attempt is what is important. The attempt is what is important. There are people that attempted to climb Mount Everest before they ever really climbed it, Mount Everest, you know. And
yeah, but a lot of people died trying to climb Mount Everest. Nobody died just gumming their arm, you know.
What do you mean, gum my arm?
Well, that's what it sounded like you did, man. Just, you gummed on it.
I mean, I got to agree with the guys here.
Oh, yeah, the guy. Well, Phil, you read my book and draw your own conclusions. I hope that people will read this book. I think it's one for the ages. I think it's one, well, it's one for the books. It's called, by the way, Ascent of McKinley, How I Tried to Gnaw My Arm Off in 6 Hours and Was Not Successful. Actually, I haven't named the book yet. And I'll tell you why. Because we're having a bidding war right now between ourselves, Penguin, and a few other books, imprimatures that I cannot mention.
So there's no name of the book yet.
No, but I'm thinking about calling it My Ascent of McKinley, and perhaps I gained a mountain, but I lost an arm.
All right, well, Kurt, I can tell you, I don't blame a guy for trying to get a little bit of publicity. I don't blame a guy for trying to garner a little bit of notoriety for himself, regardless of what the tale may be. But I'm just, you know, wishing you the best of luck here on selling this one, that you tried to gnaw your arm off after 6 hours because you figured the guy that cut his arm off did it after 4 or...
No, I tried to do it after 12 hours. The other guy figured he did it after 6. So you got to get your story straight, man.
What are you talking about? He has to get his story straight. Your entire story here is so fantastical.
If you want to start talking about testicles and
what was he talking about?
What do you mean testicles?
He just said my story is a big testicle.
He said fantastical. Fantastical.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I can tell you that...
Yeah, fantastical, which means essentially, excuse my language, bullshit. And,
I appreciate your help, Mr. Henry. I appreciate everyone's interest. General, I feel sorry for you. I will say a prayer for you. And
I don't need your prayers, buddy. You know, you're the guy that needs the prayers. I mean, starting with the fact that you tried to gnaw your own arm off, and now you're trying to sell a book about it. And by the way, you didn't gnaw your own arm off. What are you going to tell people in this book? I tried to chew my own arm off, but I chickened out.
Well, yeah, essentially. Because you know something, there are more things under heaven and earth than you can possibly imagine. There is the possibility of werewolf. There's the possibility of a vampire. There's the possibility of mummy. There's the possibility of daddy. You know? You know?
Uh-huh.
And there's also the gnawing your arm off, and there's also trying to gnaw your arm off and not be successful to gnaw your arm off.
I got to tell you something, Kurt. This is, good luck to you, man. You're really making a pitch here. How I Tried to Gnaw My Arm Off, didn't succeed, and didn't even climb up Mount McKinley, and got medevaced off the mountain. I lost blood because the other arm was broken, and thank you very much.
That's a pretty long title, but we can work on that one.
Well, good luck, and once the book is published, when it actually has a name, you let us know. I'd be happy to come out and interview you.
By that time, I'm going to have a lot of people... who would be interested in interviewing me. You line up now, get your request in now, because after about 6 months to 8 months, it's going to be all over. I won't be taking any requests. I will not be able to get you in the door. I won't be able to even squeeze you in. I won't even be able to hide you under the bed, get you in a suitcase, nothing.
Don't worry, I'll wait.
Well,
all right. Well, anyway, thanks a lot, Kurt, and the best of luck to you.
Yeah, and thank you, everyone. And don't forget, the book is called, well, it doesn't have a title.
Not yet, it doesn't have a title. You let us know when you get a title for it.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
I say, as I've often said to you, bud, please, 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 in the words of James Brown, please, please, please.
Please, please love me so.
No,
But that's what he said.
Yes, that's what he said.
All right, what I would say is let me know before you book some of these clowns, because that came in late, that interview.
Yeah, the guy called up about yesterday, wanted to be on a show about gnawing off his arm.
Yesterday? So you guys could have let me know about this, couldn't you?
Well, what to let you know about? Sounded kind of interesting. Sounded be a really great tale to tell.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's the biggest load of horse shit I ever heard in my life, and if that cat actually went through any of that, including climbing Mount McKinley, then, you know, I'm my own, whatever, brother. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
I'm the fury, the final fight. I flip it on fraudulent fellas, fulfilling fright. I'm flicking on fire, finishing when the flow and flight. Feminine fakers fall, I'm flogging.
You know, I think you've got to really look in. Are you done with the...
Yeah, you mean the commercial?
The commercial and whatever this...
Who's this clown?
It's Sage the Gemini, Jesus.
Yeah, well...
So what about it, anyway?
Well, look, before you get these people on to interview, this guy, Kurt Reutemann, or whatever...
Yeah, that guy, man, gnawing off his own arm.
What are you talking to me about it for? This guy booked him.
Yeah, you're the host of the show.
You ought to vet these guys, Phil. This clown here, Dickman, he can only do so much. You know, he rises to a certain level, and then the guy's lost. You know?
Yeah, I even told you about it.
You didn't tell me diddly squat about having this guy on. Hey, it is what it is.
Well, I think you need to, as I said, vet these guys a little bit better, because this guy... Gnawing off his arm. No, he really didn't. Did he climb up McKinley? No, he didn't. I think you can do a lot better. Now, I think, given what has occurred...
I don't want to talk about Mount Everest, all right?
You don't want to talk about Mount Everest?
No, I do not want to talk about what happened on Mount Everest. It was a tragedy, and I'm not going to talk about it.
Fine, you don't have to talk about it. Instead, you get a guy on who says, well, I tried to gnaw off my own arm.
Yeah, well, I thought it would be relevant.
And you signed off on it, Phil.
Yeah, okay, I signed off on it. I didn't sign off on that thinking anything other than, wow, what an interesting story, this guy. I was thinking more about the guy that cut his own arm off when he got it wedged in the rock for 6 hours, 12 hours, 140 hours, oh, 128 hours.
That's what it is, but 128 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. 128 hours.
Yes, but Mr. Reutemann claims that it was only about 12 hours, and he got,
No, he said it was 6 hours. Reutemann took 12 before he tried to gnaw his own arm off.
Let me tell you about Reutemann. If you're listening, Mr. Reutemann, and bless your heart for being on our show, number one, it was 128 hours for that guy. You trying to gnaw your own arm off after 12 hours, I think that's a little bit chicken shit, if you'll pardon the expression. I know that it's a little rough.
God damn, Mr. Henry.
I know it's a little rough. So it doesn't make you look good in any event, all right? And the fact that you were not successful in gnawing off your own arm is probably good because you were rescued anyway by your team, which was probably only a couple of hours behind you to begin with. And when they did find you, you had lost blood, I understand that, from a broken arm or whatever, but you sure as hell weren't 128 hours sawing off your own arm, you know.
Well, it would have been a great story had he gnawed off his own. And that guy in that 128-hour movie, can you imagine how interesting that would have been? No, it wouldn't have been interesting.
I barely saw that movie as is. Had he gnawed off his own arm, that man would have escaped a horrible tragedy and had gone directly into a psychiatric institution in which he would remain for the rest of his life.
Margaret.
No, for the rest of his life.
You're going to tell me the guy's going to survive a mountain.
But...
Wait. Now, I got something I want to say here.
Look, Dickman, every time...
Hold on, General. You're going to tell me a guy's going to survive on a mountain. And a guy going to gnaw off his own arm. And you're going to put that guy into a bin, into the bin.
What bin?
Talk about a nut bin.
Yeah, talk about the nut bin.
You mean a psychiatric hospital.
That's... There you go, right there. Give the man a cigar.
Will you get out of here?
Sorry. Look at Dickman, you were the last guy that ought to be talking about who goes to the bin, as you call it, is you.
All right. Stephen Bozell is going to join us. Speaking of flipping your lid, speaking of going down the side of a mountain, Steve is going to be on with us to talk about the new George Clooney tequila. You remember when I said that we had tried the George Clooney tequila last week?
Yes.
Tried it out in the desert. Steve Bozell is going to join us here in just a moment to tell us. He's going to give us his official review. Not that Steve is a tequila expert. Mr. Bozell is a construction contractor from Corona, California. Not that he's a tequila expert, but he, in point of fact, is a guy that shouldn't drink tequila.
Bingo, right there. That, you want to interview more guys like that.
Exactly right. Not only should he not drink tequila, that when he did drink the tequila, the George Clooney tequila, he wound up running on a hillside with wolves.
Couple can.
What?
You got it right, man. We'll talk to him in just a moment of the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
This is General Galen Shaw. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Here's a song. This is one of those hippity-dippy song, and it's called Me and Hennessy. Yeah, sure.
You, me, and Hennessy.
Yeah, look at this. She sounds like she's four.
This
is like 2 4-year-olds passing a bottle of Hennessy. God damn.
Hey, this what happens when we drink it.
Me, she does sound very young.
Me, Hennessy, and you.
Who is this, anyway?
Well, I'm just gonna find out. It's Dej Loaf.
Dej Loaf.
Yeah.
And Dej Loaf is four?
Well, he sounds like he's four.
What, who is this, Dej Loaf?
No, this is Fortunate You. Anyway, all right, thank you very, very much, everybody. Stephen Bozell joining us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we discuss with Steve. An interesting event that happened at his house on Saturday night. He had himself a bottle of that Casamigos. I guess this is the only show that actually does serious discussions of tequila and gosh almighty or gosh gee whiz mighty, whatever you want to call it. That's what we do here. Now, do we have him on the line? We do. Steve, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. Stephen Bozell. Whoa. Hold on for a minute. Stephen Bozell joining us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Stephen, I would say that, I would say that you doing a tequila review is probably the last thing that anybody would expect.
Well, what I wanted to do, Mr. Henry, is, talk about tequila. I've enjoyed all of the conversations that you've had about the tequila. But I never in my life have I ever, thought I was not man enough, but I'm, man, I wouldn't go there and anything.
Well, you know, it's a...
Hold on a minute. Right there. Yeah, do it, man. Do it, baby. We got a fire season, as you know, Mr. Henry. God, we are so fortunate here in the Southern California areas to have the good fire crews that we have, and I'm so very, very grateful.
What's happening?
Well, we're wetting it down. I asked these guys, some of the crews, to come in. This is not the L.A. County fire. This is a private fire. It's a private party fire crew. And they're wetting down some acreage that I have here behind our pond because I don't want it getting too dry. You know, we've got ourselves a drought.
Absolutely. You've got to be very... Did you do your fire abatement?
Did he do his fire abatement?
God, that's... What are you talking about?
That was great. I'd appreciate it if you wouldn't embarrass me.
What do you mean fire abatement? Cut down all those high weeds?
Yeah, I did that. Here they come in again. Here they come in. How do you do? I salute them as they go by. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, I saw one... B8er. He did the BA. All right, I got to watch out.
Okay, Steve, now I understand. These are the guys that the last time they were flying over here, are they getting water out of your pond?
No, they are not taking water from my pond. They're taking their water from Lake Philliman, which is just about a mile south. They're coming in low, and they're coming in sweet, and they're dousing this back area here, and we got a whole lot of dry brush and dry grass and everything that's happening out there. We're very, very fortunate to have such dedicated fire crews out here. But I said that they're coming down here. Look, here they come again. My wife, April Jr., is here. Take another look, honey. And April Jr., honey, go in the house. They got a couple of guys on their crew that think they're funny. He pulled a BA. I don't see him yet. They are coming in low. Are they coming in low and tight?
What do you mean low and tight?
Excuse me, General, but these are terms that are known to firefighters. I've got a lot of acreage here.
I understand you have acreage.
Here they come. Here they come right now. Okay. Yep, that's a bear ass right there, right out that window.
Okay, Steve.
Yeah. Okay, he BA'd me. He BA'd me. My daughter's in the house. So he bear assed me.
Okay, Steve, do you want to talk about this tequila?
I do, sir, but I want you to know, and I want your listeners to know, that as much as I admire these young men who are coming in and... And are wetting down the land and making sure that my property is going to be protected. Here comes crew two. Is that ass? Are there pants on that ass? Because I can't see. There's no pants on that ass either.
So that's two times. I've tried to teepee these guys. And I,
what do you mean teepee them?
I've tried to teach them. I'm sorry. I've tried to teach these guys proper respect of young ladies. I've also tried to give them the accolades, what they so surely deeply need. And how are they repaying me? Two times they swung by high and tight, and I saw ass with no pants on it, so...
All right, Steve, do you want to...
Yes, sir, I do. I'm just making a note. I'm making a public note.
All right, and let's just let those guys do their job. Your daughter's in the house. They're obviously having some fun.
Yeah, there they go again. Yeah. Yeah, it's bare ass. There were one, two, three bare asses in that window. Did you see that, Jerry? What do you make of that? Jerry says they don't have any respect for me.
Who's Jerry?
Just Jerry. Just another Jerry. We know a lot of Jerrys around here, don't we, Phil?
Yeah, we know too many. All right, Steve, tell me about what happened on Saturday night at your house.
Well, we had a tequila tasting here, and I had gone and purchased the new George Clooney Casamigos on your recommendation. Wait a minute, here he comes. Yep, one, two, three, four bare asses and someone's penis. And that's dirty pool right there. I just want to make note here, Mr. Henry.
Okay, and then I got to get going because I don't want to keep listening to this.
All right, that's fine. I just want to, for the record, one, two, three, how many was it, Bill? Yeah, there were four asses. They were all bare. One of them was pointing at it. I saw a hand pointing at an ass. I don't know if that hand belonged to the man who had taken his pants down or if it was another guy's hand pointing at that other guy's ass. But there were one, two, three, four, five bare asses in the window, and there were two hands pointing.
Got it. I got it.
Okay, look at Bozell. Maybe you can write a book with that guy that almost gnawed his own arm off. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, I know when a man is making fun of me, and I know when a man is making fun of me. And you're making fun of me, not just...
Not just making fun of you.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so Steve...
There we go. Yeah, look at that. Guy's waving his dick.
All right, watch your language. Look, I'm going to hang up on you, man, if we can't get to this.
All right, I apologize. I'll let the record show. April, you're taking... My wife's got a notebook, so it doesn't matter to me.
All right, that's good. I've been sitting and listening and being very quiet about this, Steve, and I haven't said a word. You are offending a lot of the women in the audience.
I apologize. I had no idea that you were there.
Yes, well, while you had your daughter go in the house, you don't seem to care about the females that may be listening.
I do apologize to all the ladies. Please forgive me. I just by way of explanation... You know what?
Slow down.
Okay, by way of explanation...
Yeah, quit panicking.
I'm not panicking. By way of explanation...
Take a deep breath.
By way of explanation, I just want to say, ladies, that you would understand if it was your... If it was your husband who was me, and I saw a plane go by, and there were four guys pointing at their own asses with no pants on... I'm sure you'd understand if you heard your husband say, take notes.
Exactly.
All right.
So, go ahead.
What I'm going to say is this. I was having this tequila tasting on Saturday night, and I had the George Clooney Casamigos. I brought over Cliff Pettigrew. Roy Hutchins was here. I had a couple guys from my crew. The Dopkin twins and... Leon Ellis was here with his wife. Maurice Mason was here. A lot of guys from my crew. I said, I want to do some tequila tasting, and we also brought out the very fine margarita mixes, and you even recommended a sangrita, Mr. Henry, right?
Yes, sangrita is a very tasty drink.
Yeah, and we were chasing that. So I had this, and I noticed...
Now, are you familiar with tequila drinking? Do you do a lot of tequila drinking?
No, ma'am, I do not. No, ma'am, I do not. I will say that wholeheartedly, and I will say that with the greatest of, you know, I don't. You know what? I'm sorry, Mr. Ernie. I want everybody, all the women in the house, because I'm going to do something now.
Okay, if you keep on screwing around with this plane...
They're flying by and showing me ass, okay?
They're showing you. Does your daughter see this?
They're showing you.
You know, Bozell, you ought to grow up, okay?
You guys, I had a guy on it all try to gnaw his own arm off. You tell me?
What are you going to do?
I'm taking my pants off. And the next thing, here they come. What? Hey, look at that, huh? My ass. I'm pointing to my own ass, Mr. Henry.
Congratulations.
I beg your pardon?
Congratulations.
Well, I mean, if you're being sarcasm, you know that.
No, he's being sarcastic, Steve.
All right, well, okay. You know...
But let the record show.
Yeah, let the record show. By the way, I've outlawed that phrase, let the record show, for our show, so...
You route-rawed.
No, listen, he didn't route-raw anything. He outlawed let the record show. I don't know.
Yeah, can't say it.
Well, I just didn't. I just done did.
Well, good for you, man. So we've got a lot of guys flying by in some kind of a water tanker trying to douse the dry acreage on your property with water. Meanwhile, they're showing you bare ass after bare ass, which I guess is meant, you think, for your daughter. I think it's meant for you. Then you turn around and drop your pants.
Hold on, will you? Hey, my ass. They didn't even see it now. See, they're all like.
So... Where are we going here?
I'm just going to tell you. I drank the George Clooney, and I wound up running with a wolf pack up here just past Whistler, just past the Whistler's cabin. And, excuse me. Damn it.
You know, you told me that you're still getting a little bit of stomach acid from that tequila.
I am. It hurts. It hurts me bad.
Well, maybe you ought to get a drink of water or something, or a Zantac, okay?
Yeah, the Zantac is very good for that acid. I know what that's like, but what you should do is just not drink the tequila.
Hey, you know what, Mrs. Gray? I'm a tequila guy, okay?
You're a tequila guy. You wound up running with a pack of wolves out near Whistler Cabin.
Yeah, right out near... Look at Mr. and don't say it like I'm some kind of a weird specimen that you just put on a slide and decided that you go ahead and take one more look before you, you know, file it in a refrigerator under... You know, mutated virus will kill every Christian soul.
Would you get to it, Bozell?
All right, all I'm trying to say is, on Saturday night, I had about a half a bottle of that Casa Amigos, and Hutchins told me, how you feeling? I said, I feel good. And the next thing I knew, I was running with a wolf pack out here near Whistler Cabin.
You said about Whistler Bottom, too.
Whistler's Bottom is a lake bottom. I was not out near Whistler Bottom. I was near the Foggy Bottom. Not the Foggy Bottom. I was out near Whistler Bottom, but it was the Listener's Lake.
Whistler's Lake?
No, it was a listener of yours who owned a lake. And
well, who was it?
I think it was that guy, Mel Cabru, you know, the guy who was on your chat the other night.
It was a Listener's Lake.
Yes, so it wasn't Whistler's Lake.
No, ma'am. Well,
you know what? You know, Bozell, between you and that ass we had on first up who gnawed off his arm, you know, why don't you guys give the guy with the gnawed off arm a rest? Hey, Margaret, you want to give him a rest? You go ahead and put his head on a pillow. Oh!
All of you, I hope you all die in an accident involving a gasoline truck. Excuse me.
Holy Jesus.
Man, Margaret.
Well, you heard me.
Was that your General Shaw impression?
Yes.
All right, so...
God damn.
You got that right. So, Steve, question. When you finally were aware of your surroundings, where were you? Asleep? Awake?
When I was finally aware of my surroundings, I had no pants on. I was up here near Whistler Lake. I was running with a wolf pack. I want to tell you right now, I was scared. God, I was so scared. And the fact that this wolf pack had been... the fact that this wolf pack had been a part and parcel of some kind of a larger, I think it was a larger movement of animals that somebody said they'd seen. I'm not even sure who it was or what it was or why it was, but there was a larger movement of animals. It might have been a herd of them right up. See that? There they go again, you know?
Now, what is that?
What do you think? Three guesses. The first two don't count. That is the sound of a wolf pack that was...
Is that the same wolf pack that was up there the other night?
Yes, sir, it was. Yes, sir, it was. God damn it.
All right, so what, Bozell? You live out near the wilderness like that.
Yeah, but I never thought that I'd find myself running with him. I'll tell you what, have you ever, Mr. Henry, yeah, fuck you guys. Fuck you.
Hey, Steve, I'm going to hang up here in a second.
You've never had a guy BA your 12-year-old daughter.
No, I have not. You know what I would do once those guys land? I would call their employers, and I'd have them fired.
All right. Okay, I will.
Fine. This is not the first time you've had this problem, right?
No, sir, it's not the first time I've had the problem. But I'm coming off a very traumatic event. God damn it.
Well, what is it with you, Bozell? Are they calling to you?
Yeah, hey, Bozell, do you hear your name being called?
What if I was? The fact that I was out there running with them on that... Yeah, all you guys can kiss my ass.
Get out of here, will ya?
God, Mr. Henry.
Don't God, Mr. Henry, anything, okay? You were giving me shit about that one guy with the gnawed-off arm. Who booked that?
I did.
Yeah.
Well, Phil, Steve Bozell is a longtime guest of yours.
He may be a longtime guest of mine, but listening to that nut talking about running with the wolves... No,
well, you know, Phil, the moral of the story, and something that I think you should have focused on, you know, is that some guys can't drink tequila.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Mr. That's something you always say.
I understand that that's something that I always say, but the message was somehow getting lost in the fact that there was a water tanker with guys BAing him.
Well, Phil, you're saying that like it's a shock. Every year when Bozell has those guys douse his property with water, they hang their bare asses on a window.
Here we go with the Margaret mumble.
Well, that's right.
You better believe it. They hang their bare asses on a window, and they're trying to show his daughter their bare ass and their bare nin.
Yeah, she said bare...
I know what she said, okay?
Wow, the guy's clapping his hands and everything.
God, I'm saying what I know what she said. Like, you're all Mrs. Peck in the sixth grade and everything.
Well, you guys are like children. So what else?
Well, just what we said. So if you think that Bozell is a whack job, you got that right. He's as nutty as three coats of paint. That guy belongs in some kind of a new age zoo. Some kind of a newly constructed... Fuck.
Some kind of a newly constructed zoo.
Yes.
A newly constructed zoo for who?
For weirdos like him.
Well, I mean, it's a hell of a way to start the week, Mr. Henry.
Well, you know what? That's about the smartest thing I've heard anybody say.
Yeah, Robert said it. You're always saying he say smart stuff.
Yeah, I do. I do say he say smart. Okay, folks, so what we have here is, don't forget that new book, by the way, coming out from Kurt Reutemann. It's called I Went Up the North Face of McKinley and I Wound Up Trying to Gnaw My Arm...
Trying to gnaw my arm off?
My arm off. And I didn't succeed, or something like that. We're going to find out exactly...
When the book is released, right?
Yeah. And then, of course, Stephen Bozell, thank you very much, Steve. One of these days, man, I will feel sympathy for you running with the wolves after drinking too much of George Clooney's tequila. But until you get those guys fired in that water tanker for BAing you and your 12-year-old daughter, I have no sympathy at all.
World-famous Phil Henry Show. He's the executive producer on this thing. For Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.
Yeah. You here at home.
What time is it anyway, man? Oh, God damn, this show went.
Sometimes yeah, it went all right.
Next time it's nothing. It's more than mistrusting. It ends up just crushing me. Stop with the fighting. I know it's the right thing. To get through this, so say something. I'm not holding back before the scene we make goes in fade to black. Cause I can't wait while you think this through. We don't have endless time. Remember who left to. Cause I won't wait for you. Don't hold the same desire anymore. I can't ignore. So long I've wandered, but I think now I know you're not coming home. Sometimes it's one thing, and next time it's nothing. It's more than mistrusting. It ends up just crushing me. Stop with the fighting. I know it's the right thing. I won't let you do this. We have to get through this. So say something. I'm not holding back before the scene we make goes in vain.